It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, it is a good life living for the Lord, and it's a great life. It may not always be an easy life, but it is the best life. And God has promised us that one day we're going to see Him, we're going to see the Lord, and that is if we've trusted Him as our Savior. I want to speak to you today about disobedience to the gospel. And we're going to look in the book of Romans chapter 10. And I would ask you that through this week, this coming week, that you would read Romans 10, 11 through 21. We're going to read a couple of those verses in just a few moments. And verse 16 is going to be the main verse that we're going to look at today. LRWM.org. Go there for free Bible study helps. You can also email us with any prayer requests that you have. I'll be glad to share with the Lord the requests that you have on your heart, and we'll pray together that God will answer the needs of your life. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 11, it says, "For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him." In other words, God makes no difference. It makes no difference who you are, race, creed, or color, or your nationality, or anyone else. He's the same Lord. Verse 13 says, "Because this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Verse 16 says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" And of course, the scriptures here, Paul's referring to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1, where he says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Man is the same disobedient creature under all dispensations. We bemoan the rejection that man has done. He's rejected the gospel. And Isaiah bemoaned this as well. He spoke in the name of the whole company of the prophets when he said, "Who hath believed our report?" And one of the greatest proofs today of the depravity of man's heart is that he will not obey the gospel any more than he will the law. He disobeys God, whether he speaks to him in love or in law. In other words, we go back in the Old Testament and we see that the Bible says, "Thou shalt," or "Thou shalt not." Well, man disobeyed God in those orders, the Ten Commandments. And he also disobeys God when God says he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, John 3:16. Man disobeys God in love and in the law. Well, the gospel comes to men with the force of a command. It's not optional to men to accept or refuse the gospel at pleasure. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." The gospel command goes out to secure the honor of God. It's not an offer of an equal to an equal, but of the great God to a condemned sinner. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It makes the proclaimer bold. In other words, the minister now speaks boldly with his master's authority. And I would have you to know today that those individuals who name the name of the Lord have the authority to proclaim the message, the good news, that Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. We have become ambassadors for our Lord, and He's given us the authority to proclaim the good news to this lost and dying world. We also have the proper authority to encourage the humble seeker, and this is what the gospel does. He must be at full liberty to believe in Jesus, and that is given to every man, woman, boy, and girl today, full liberty to believe in Jesus, since he is commanded to do so and threatened if he does not do so. In other words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and will be with the Lord forever, or face the devil's hell, the hell that was created for the devil and his angels. God did not create hell for a human being. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. But it's sad to say those people who do not trust Jesus as Savior, that's going to be their end, hell, and then cast into the lake of fire. Well, how can the gospel demand obedience? It's by the authority of the sender. Whatever God commands, man is under obligation to do. The motive of the sender is this: love shines in the gospel command, and no man should slight infinite love. It's the love of God, the great gift of the sender. He has given us His only begotten Son. The earnestness of the sender. His whole heart is in the gospel. Note the high position which the plan of salvation occupies in the esteem of God. A Hindu once came to a missionary and said, "There are many things in Christianity that I find in Hinduism, but there is one thing which Christianity has and Hinduism has not. What is that?" the missionary asked. His reply, "A Savior." There are many religions in the world today, but there is only one Christianity. There is only one Christ, and there is only one way to heaven, and that is through the Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, what is the obedience required by the gospel? It's not the mere hearing or the liking or professing or proclaiming, but a hearty obedience to His command. It claims, first of all, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans 9:10 says that, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation." Romans 10:9-10. It's not only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we look at, but it's a renunciation of self-righteousness and confession of guilt. In other words, we're not saved by doing that, but it's a byproduct of when we get saved. We can be right without being self-righteous. It's all of Christ. Will Rogers said this, and some may not know who Will Rogers was. I have to admit that I've only read about him. I never did see him personally or anything, but he was considered to be, I don't know if you'd call him an orator, he was a speaker. But he said, "I always like to hear a man talk about himself, because then I never hear anything but good." But God says we're all guilty. We are all guilty before an all-seeing God. Public confession of His name in His own way. Namely, when we get saved, we go before a group of individuals and we say, not necessarily with our mouth, but with our actions, by being baptized, by being immersed into that water, we're saying, "I have trusted the Lord. I believe He saved me by His death, burial, and resurrection." We are proclaiming Jesus Christ. A powerful argument to prove the enmity of man's heart against God is the unsuccessfulness of the gospel, which can be resolvable into nothing else but such an enmity. In other words, when a man or a woman refuses the gospel, they are shaking their fist in the face of God. The design of the gospel is to bring us into a union with the Son of God and to believe on Him whom the Father hath sent. Christ seeks to gather in souls to God, but many times they will not be gathered. To disobey the gospel is far worse than to break the law. For disobedience to the law, there is a remedy in the gospel, but for disobedience to the gospel, there is no remedy. No remedy can be found. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, according to the Word of God. Jim Elliot, a missionary, said, "God always gives His best to those who leave the choice with Him." God's choice for you today is to know Jesus as your Savior. Have you trusted Him as your Lord and Savior? Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That word whosoever means you. If you've never trusted Him, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you need to do that today. You need to say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior." If you refuse to do that, then you're in disobedience to the gospel. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to please God, because He sent His Son for you. And when you honor the Son, you are honoring God. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart, you are honoring Jesus and the Father. Why not do that right now? Ask Jesus to come into your heart. "Lord Jesus, I know I can't save myself. I confess my sin to you. I know I've sinned. I know I'm a sinner. Please come into my heart and save me today." If you'll pray that prayer or a prayer like it and mean it in your heart, being willing to turn from your sin, the Bible says that to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons or the children of God. What a blessing it is today to know that we can become, that we are, those of us who have already trusted Jesus, that we are the children of God. And you can become that child of God today by asking Jesus to come in to your heart. My prayer for you today is that you will trust Jesus. Let me pray just now. Father, I pray for those who are listening that that person who is not saved would ask Jesus, would ask your Son to come in to their heart right now. I pray for that person who's saved, who's not living for you, that that person would say, "Lord, forgive me. I want to serve you from this time forth. Help me. Give me the strength. Help me to be a witness for you." In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, it's been good being with you today, and let me remind you to tune in at this same time and go to the website, lrwm.org, and look there, and you'll find some Bible study helps and other things that would help you in the Christian life and also help you to further understand what it means to be a Christian. Well, until the next time when you hear me say, "It's a good life." May the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.
You have been listening to "It's a Good Life" with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.